Welcome to Pharma Talk Radio. I'm Andrew Goldstein. In this podcast, I'll be interviewing Nick DeFranco of Lubrizol Life Science about new tools for solubility enhancement with a focus on oral and injectable excipients. As new drugs in development have poorer solubility and bioavailability, there is a need for novel solubility-enhancing polymers to improve drug loading and improve patient adherence. For more information on the pod conference, editorial, podcasts, or webcasts, please visit podconference.com. Thank you and enjoy the podcast. So Nick, why don't you introduce yourself?
So I'm Nick DeFranco. I'm global market manager for novel excipients and novel pharmaceutical technologies here at Lubrizol Life Science. Been in the pharma industry for 7 years now. Started off in the technical role, moved into more of a marketing position, background in biomedical engineering, and really, one of my passions is drug delivery technologies. So I'm really excited that I get to head up the product launch and build awareness for some of these new solubility enhancers that Lubrizol is bringing to market. We're taking on quite a challenge here, trying to introduce new excipient technologies, but we have a great team in place to do it. We've launched a technology for oral use called Apinovex Polymer, and a technology for injectable use called Aposolex Polymer, and excited to share more information about that today.
Thank you, Nick, and welcome to the podcast. It seems like there's been a greater focus on solubility-enhancing excipients recently. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, if you look at pharmaceutical news, you see a lot of interest in and coverage of large molecule biologic growth, but small molecules still dominate the market. They still comprise a huge portion of the drug pipeline. And what we're seeing is a lot of the drugs in development, especially new classes of APIs, suffer from solubility and bioavailability challenges. A good example of this are PROTACs, which are new class of drugs that have a very hydrophobic structure. You see companies popping up left and right with molecules in this class that need solubility enhancement of some kind to have a therapeutic effect on the body. And so as more and more drug discovery efforts are taking off, the growth of AI and just more interest in growing the pipeline, there are going to be more poorly soluble compounds that need to be formulated. And so, you know, that's a really big driving factor. The other is also in 505(b)(2) product development. There's been a major push in repurposing of existing APIs to either reformulate those products, improve their properties, target new indications, combine different drugs together. And all of these goals, all of these objectives often, you know, require taking a closer look at a formulation, maybe improving the properties of something that came to market, making it easier for patients to dose, or, you know, taking advantage of the opportunity to reformulate, take something that's injectable and make it oral, for example, to make it more convenient for patients. And so while, you know, new chemical entities are always a source of innovation, we're seeing a huge push in repurposing and then people who are looking for new technologies to incorporate into those programs.
With these new needs of transitioning molecules and assets from injectable to oral or going through 505(b)(2) pathways, what are the shortcomings of traditional solubility enhancers that we need to develop new ones?
Sure. Yeah, there's really a couple different shortcomings, some technical, some even commercial in nature. One of the big challenges that we see from customers who are looking for novel technologies is the lack of efficiency of existing options. You know, drug loading capacity can be fairly limited. We see this a lot in the oral space, where with a traditional excipient, you may be able to achieve drug loading of 20, maybe 30% using your traditional carrier polymers. But if you have a high dose API, that can become a challenge when it comes to tablet size, making something small enough for people to swallow. If you're not able to get enough drug into a tablet, may require you to dose multiple tablets to a patient, which is inconvenient, or spread out those doses multiple times a day, which, you know, ideally We need to make these drugs easier for patients to take. And so that's often a push that we see from people who are exploring novel technologies and a key factor that they're looking at. In the injectable space, low efficiency can have detrimental effects in other ways too. If you need a high level of, say, a surfactant chemistry that's used in an injection, you may get higher incidence rates of injection site toxicity and side effects for patients. Sometimes these surfactants are not the nicest chemicals, so minimizing their use is always a big push. But even differentiated technologies, things like modified cyclodextrins, still require high amounts of excipient relative to amount of API in an injection. And if you think about developing a product for, say, subcutaneous injection, you have a limited injection volume to work with. And so the more efficiency you get, the better chance you have of hitting your target product profile, gain enough drug into that dose, and being able to produce a viable product. We've also seen, specifically in the injectable space, a lot of interest in removing PEG-based technologies from products. There's concerns around immunogenicity, allergic reactions, and even chronic toxicity associated with PEG-based systems. And so, technologies that can avoid the use of those chemistries are also appealing, and kind of part of that longer-term shift in the injectable space towards safer technologies. And then, I'd say the last thing to touch upon is commercially, using traditional excipients, it can be difficult to find areas for intellectual property and patent protection when developing a product launch strategy. And so while the technical is always first in any sort of development program, it is a helpful factor to know that there are patented technologies, novel excipients out there that not only have their own protection, but also open up a broad landscape for formulation IP and combinations of drugs with polymers that can kind of extend the protection and commercial lifetime of a new drug product.
What are some of the other key considerations when talking about these novel excipients and novel technologies?
Yeah, so I mentioned that technical is always first. When we talk to customers about using novel excipients, we are aware that pharma industry is extremely conservative. You're not going to look for something new unless you need it. But when those traditional excipients fail or can't formulate an API the way you want to, we typically position our excipients with three different buckets of consideration. First is, does it work, right? Does the technology allow you to meet your target product profile by hitting those key challenges that you're facing? Increasing bioavailability, if it's increasing drug loading, does it improve the stability of your drug product? Those are always going to be first and foremost in any program that you look at. And benchtop formulators and R&D scientists, they're going to do that upfront work to screen technologies and find what works well. But beyond just working on the bench, we also bring up the importance of safety and patient centricity when looking at new technologies. Does a new excipient chemistry have a safety and tox package, right? Does it Are you confident that you can take that to market, scale it up, manufacture large-scale drug products and really support a commercial launch? There are many, many technologies that come to market every year. If you go to pharma trade shows, you see them constantly, but very few actually have the backing and the potential to truly be scaled and to also generate that critical safety tox data that comes with any new technology to make sure it can get through regulatory hurdles and be proven safe for a certain route of administration. On the other side of that, beyond just the safety piece, technologies that make drugs easier to take are also important. Now, if you can reduce dosing frequency, like we talked about with minimizing pill burden, if you can reduce those side effects, you can really create a differentiated product, and something that is more likely to get uptake in the market. When you couple those factors with that IP protection and the commercial aspect of novel excipients that we just talked through, you kind of get a good framework with which to evaluate novel technologies.
So with all of that in mind, how do Lubrizol's AppNovex and Apisolex technologies address those considerations when it comes to novel excipients?
Sure. So I'll start with the Apinovex polymer. Apinovex is a linear polyacrylic acid. It's designed for solvent-based processing to form high drug loading ASDs, amorphous solid dispersions, so that we can convert drugs that are poorly soluble into amorphous form and keep them stable over time. The Apinovex polymer is adaptable to current manufacturing techniques. It's most often processed via spray drying. And what we've seen from the technical side is the ability to achieve very high drug loading with the Apinovex polymer, as high as 80% with the right API. You know, getting up to an 80% drug load in an ASD is not a trivial task. You know, many excipients on the market are going to be capped at that 20-30% level. But the way that we view Apinovex is as a new tool in your toolbox of oral solubility enhancers, an option to try in screening programs and see how it stacks up against other polymers that you're evaluating. If Apinovex can solubilize your drug, do so at a high enough loading that allows you to, you know, hit your tablet size requirements or gives you enough flexibility with other excipients to make your full formulation, then, you know, we think it can stand out and be useful in bringing a new drug product to market. It does have a pending application patent on the use of the technology and drug formulation, so we can offer some IP there. We know that there's a broad landscape to patent formulations with Apinovex, and we are generating a full safety tox package. We've actually completed a 28-day oral tox study in rats that showed no adverse effects. We know the polymer is extremely similar to carbapol, which is a IID listed, very well established excipient family, but we will still do a chronic tox study, 6-month repeat dose, and file a type 4 drug master file so that anyone who has seen success with Apinovex will get that full regulatory and technical backing to bring it to market. And so, you know, we feel like we've checked a lot of these boxes in terms of technical benefits, safety, and then the IP consideration to make it a valuable tool in the oral formulation space. When you look at our Apisolex polymer, our injectable solubility enhancer, the story is very similar, right? We developed this polymer as a safe, non-immunogenic, non-toxic alternative to those PEG-based excipients in the injectable space. And, you know, we did so with a polyamino acid-based chemistry platform. Apisolex is a block copolymer, consists of a polysarcosine block and a DL mixed polyamino acid block in the other side of the polymer. Together, these form amphiphilic block copolymers that self-assemble into micelles to encapsulate drug and increase solubility. And from an efficiency standpoint, these are extremely efficient polymers. They increase solubility at a rate of anywhere from 100-fold up to 50,000-fold, depending on the API. And you can do so with excipient to API ratios as good as 100 parts excipient to 40 parts API, which significantly better than other solubilizers in the injectable space. The polymer is built off of natural building blocks, amino acid chemistry, and we are doing a full safety tox package on this platform as well, looking at 32-day IV injection tox. We saw no adverse effects. It was well tolerated up to doses of 1500 milligrams per kilogram in a injection study. And we're also planning another 6-month repeat dose study for this polymer to go into its type 4 drug master file. Apisolex has a very strong patent protection. It is protected by composition of matter patents on the amino acid combinations. We have, you know, robust protection that we can offer in addition to the formulation IP it can enable. And, you know, again, it's a new tool, right? It's an option to use when those traditional solubilizers either aren't working or there's concerns about, you know, how it will affect a patient. And so between these two families, what we really see is, you know, giving formulators a new outlet when they're struggling with a molecule, instead of letting that molecule go to the R&D or clinical graveyard, rescue it and see if we can get it through clinic and to patients, essentially.
You've mentioned the compatibility based on the type of API, the type of drug product. Can you speak to how AppNovX and Episolex, their compatibility level with different types of drug products?
We officially launched these polymers back in 2022, so we're coming up on 2 years of really having these on the market. And in that time, we've taken good strides towards generating case studies and evaluating the polymers with different APIs, different chemistry families. On the AppNovX side, we've done work with a broad range of small molecule compounds that had different molecular weights, different physical chemical properties, glass forming abilities, in an effort to try and find those molecules that work best with the polymer. And in doing that work, what we found is, yes, AppNovX doesn't work for every molecule that you throw at it, but it was able to solubilize some very challenging compounds, including some beyond rule of five molecules that are on the market today, but from what we've seen, may even be able to be improved with the use of a technology like AppNovX. And so it really speaks to that 505(b)(2) angle and even looking at molecules that are out there today and seeing, is there a way to reformulate and improve these products? We're actually running some additional spray drying studies in the coming months here, and we hope to have more public data to share on the AppNovX platform. When it comes to Episolex, we've done similar screening work, right? So we've looked at experimental compounds, such as a series of molecules from Boehringer Ingelheim's OpenMe program, which Episolex performed very well with. We've looked at commercially available molecules like paclitaxel, even cyclosporin. What we've seen is that Episolex has solubilized just about every molecule that we've thrown at it. It is difficult to stump the Episolex technology. And it does so, again, very efficiently with a relatively low amount of excipient. You can solubilize a drug and can get a product that is more patient-friendly and ideally, something that can improve upon what's out there today. And so when it comes to compatibility, yeah, I think the benefit of doing all these case studies is that when a client comes to us with a molecule, we can provide guidance and say, hey, this looks like a good candidate for our technologies, and also make recommendations on how to process the polymers with the API to achieve the best chances of success.
There are certain molecules on the market or in experiments right now, and there's a lot of focus on the scalability of development. Do you have any scalability data? Is it, an easy, non-complex manufacturing process for these technologies? How does scalability factor into AppNovX and Episolex?
Yeah, and this is a huge factor, right? I think I mentioned earlier how we see lots of new technologies every year, but only a subset of them are truly suitable for a pharma product because of those scale-up challenges and taking it from the bench into clinic and from clinic into commercial. I am fortunate to work for a company like Lubrizol that has a long history in excipient supply. We've sold pharmaceutical excipients for over 40 years now. We are members of International Pharmaceutical Excipients Council, or IPEC. And so, we know how to scale technologies, and we have actually manufactured both the AppNovX and the Episolex polymers at scale following GMP guidelines, to pharmaceutical quality standards. They had slightly different paths to market in terms of how we scaled and developed the processes, but all throughout, the quality, regulatory, manufacturing teams at Lubrizol brought a lot of experience to make sure that, we could get those polymers ready for first customers who are taking them into clinic and in commercial use. When it comes to the drug product itself, we've seen that AppNovX polymer in our testing has created very stable formulations that, can be enable high drug loading, but also good shelf stability. And we believe with the right molecules that stability can be enhanced even further. And so we're very confident in the use of those polymers. On the injectable side, Episolex technology, it's not just about stability for us. We enable lyophilized drug products, dry powders. They're extremely stable on the shelf, reconstitute quickly, less than 30 seconds. But we also know with our technology that we can enable ready-to-inject liquid formulations that are also stable. And so we can enable a range of different dosage forms using the technology, all of which contain solubilized drug and all of which can provide differentiation, IP opportunities. We're excited about opportunities with both the technologies.
Do you have any partnerships or data when it comes to Epinovix or Episolux that you're able to share with us?
So we're always working on new data. We've been fortunate to have some great partners over the last couple of years. Team down in Austin Pharmaceutics in Texas has used their kinetazole process to evaluate the Epinovix polymer, show how it can be used as a viable excipient to solubilize drugs using their novel mixing process performing ASDs. So we've been grateful to that team for evaluating our polymer. St. John's University has been a great academic partner. They've published posters and at trade shows like AAPS, highlighting how our Epinovix polymer enables high drug loading with a challenging kinase inhibitor, for example. And then perhaps our highest profile partnership so far has been with the Research Center for Pharmaceutical Engineering in Austria, or RCPE. We actually recently published a webinar highlighting some of the work that we did with RCPE in screening new APIs with Epinovix polymer, looking at its ability to solubilize a broader range of compounds. And we did that webinar in partnership with the Conference Forum. And so you can go look for the recording there and see some of that data. We're also hopeful that in the next couple of months, we'll have some additional spray drying trials through our work with RCPE that will really, take these case studies to the next level and show that we can form spray dry dispersions and eventually do some tableting work to demonstrate how they work in end use application. We're always looking for new partners to help us develop data around these technologies to help us promote these novel technologies. We are well aware of the challenges of bringing a novel technology to market. And so we're always welcome to people who are willing to simply try the technologies, whether it's in a simple screening program or something more formal like a co-promotion agreement.
As a representative of POD, partnership opportunities in drug delivery, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, how can companies best partner, when approaching, what are you looking for in those APIs? What can they be bringing to you so that you can set up this partnership for success from the beginning?
Yeah, when it comes to excipients, I think a lot of formulators in an ideal world wouldn't have to give too much thought to the excipients that they're using, right? You grab something off the shelf, it works, and you're on your way to having a final drug product. But when those challenges do arise and you do have to search for novel technologies, the companies that you find, especially a company like Lubrizol, we really want to be more than just a supplier. We want to provide that technical support and accelerate your path to market. And so I think, coming with that mindset is important. Not just, hey, can you throw something over the fence and let me work with it? We'll see if it's a success. We want to be part of the process. We want to give feedback on how the polymer is processing, provide suggestions on how to improve, and possibly even make connections with people we know work well with the polymer, whether it's a CDMO that has sampled our materials or used them in client programs, a small development arm that we have a relationship with that can help accelerate some of the screening work. So we have resources available that can actually help beyond just the polymer itself. And I think that's the key when it comes to these novel technologies is coming into it with the mindset of, hey, I'm going to work with this company to try and make this a success, because if you succeed, we succeed. And that's kind of our motto here.
In addition to the spray drying trials that are coming through, in addition to the updated safety and tox studies that are coming through, the 6-month studies, is there anything else coming down the pipeline within Epinovix and Episolux or within Lubrizol more broadly that you're excited about that you're able to share?
Yeah, so when it comes to Epinovix and Episolex, we'll be at all of the big trade shows this year, showcasing some of that data. Hopefully, new case study work through RCPE relationship that we'll be able to publish. And We're working on some additional partnerships in the formulation space to be able to offer formulation services to customers who are either lacking the bandwidth to bring on something new or simply want someone with experience to screen new technologies. And so we're hopeful to be able to bring those to the market later this year and make some public announcements around those partnerships. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention on the other side of our business, novel technologies are exciting, but Lubrizol has a range of very well-established IID listed ingredients, our carbapol polymers. We're doing some work in the extended release space, demonstrating how those polymers have great synergies with cellulosic materials like HPMC to improve properties of ER tablets. So keep an eye out for some of that data. Oral suspensions as a way to create more patient-friendly dosage forms that are easier to swallow. We have some new data on our ability to thicken and suspend particles that I think will be very exciting. And so, if you stay tuned, Lubrizol is always looking for ways to generate new data and case studies to promote your technologies, Apinovex, Episolex, Carbapol, everything in the portfolio. So just keep your eyes peeled. And then last thing I'd like to mention today is, we've seen really great industry uptake of these technologies so far. We've been grateful to actually win a few awards for the Episolex technology, one from the Medicine Maker on Innovation in Drug Development in 2022. CPHI awarded us with the Finished Formulation Award last year, 2023, for the Episolex platform. And these awards, they highlight the fact that we are one of very few new technologies that have come to the pharma space, in the excipients world especially. And so I think people are recognizing the importance of the work that we're doing. They're grateful to have a new option in their tool belt when it comes to formulating. And we've even put out a press release about a public partnership that we've done with a company called Welton Pharma, who's actually licensed the Episolex technology for a novel cancer therapeutic. They're utilizing a novel formulation of a drug called SN38 to treat colorectal and gastrointestinal cancers. It's exactly the type of application and project that we think Episolex is a good fit for. We're hopeful to find more of those types of opportunities. But if you're interested, you can go check out their website and see the press release for more details. And hopefully next time I speak to you, we have five more of those projects that we can talk about. But like I said, reach out if you're interested and we'll be happy to talk.
Anything else that I didn't ask that I should have asked, or anything else that you would want to share with the pod and larger Pharma Talk radio audience?
Going back to that point about partnership and working with customers, again, novel excipients are not something that you're just going to pick up if you don't need them. But when you run into those challenges and you do need a new technology, I think, working with a company that has experience in the excipient space, that has experience working with regulatory bodies, we can really move quickly in the world of excipients. And I would encourage anyone that's struggling to at least reach out and learn about our technologies, whether you sample it today or you just keep it in mind for the future. That awareness piece is really helpful and I think is a important factor for us as we try to get the word out about these technologies. So grateful to anyone that schedules an introductory call with us and don't hesitate to reach out. We're very intellectually generous here.
And where can people best reach you?
So you can connect with our team on LinkedIn. You can visit our website, lubrizol.com. The novel technologies actually have their own websites, apinovex.com and apisolex.com. And so, you can find us on all of those platforms. If you send us a LinkedIn message, if you fill out the contact forms on our website, we'll get an expert in touch with you and then get you the information that you need.
Thank you so much, Nick.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. You are listening to Nick DeFranco of Lubrizol Life Science discuss new tools for solubility enhancement with a focus on oral and injectable excipients. For more information about Lubrizol and its Apinovex and Apisolex technologies, please visit lubrizol.com. For more information about the pod conference, editorials, podcasts, or webcasts, please visit podconference.com. Thanks for listening.